The Denarian spat out what I took to be an oath, and I felt that lion-like foot land in the middle of my back, flattening me to the floor, claws digging into my skin. She stepped over me, past me, and her tendrils tore open the real fridge, taking the door from its hinges before slithering inside and knocking everything within to the floor. She hadn't quite finished with the first fridge before her hair had gone on to tear open the dummy fridge and dragged out the steel strongbox. While the Denarian did that, I looked wildly around the cabin and spotted my blasting rod on the floor. I rolled, my back burning with pain, and grabbed the blasting rod. Calling up fire within the tiny cabin was a bad idea, but waiting around for the Denarian to murder me with her hairdo was even worse. She stood up with the strongbox just as I began channeling energy into the blasting rod. Its carved runes began to burn with golden radiance, and the tip of the rod suddenly gleamed with red light and wavered with hot air shimmer. The Denarian crouched, demonic limbs too long, feminine shape disturbingly attractive, red light gleaming on her metallic green scales. Her hair writhed in a hissing mass, striking sparks as one edge rasped against another. Violent lust burned in both sets of eyes for a second, and then she turned away. Her hair tore the cabin ceiling apart like paper mache, and using her hair, an arm, and one long leg, she swarmed out of the ship's cabin. I heard a splash as she hit the water, taking the strongbox with her. "What was that?" stammered Anna Valmont, clutching Francisca's limp form to her. "What the bloody hell was that?" I didn't drop the blasting rod or look away from the hole in the roof, because I didn't think the Denarian was the sort to leave a lot of people alive behind her. The end of the blasting rod was wavering, drunkenly. "How is she?" I watched the hole in the ceiling for several shaking breaths until Anna said, her voice barely audible, "She's gone." A stabbing feeling went through my belly, sharp and hot. Maybe I'm some kind of Neanderthal for thinking so, but it hurt me. A minute ago, Francisca Garcia had been talking, planning, grieving, breathing, living. She'd been killed by violence, and I couldn't stand the thought of things like that happening to a woman. It wouldn't have been any less wrong had it happened to a man, but in my gut, it wasn't the same. "Damn it," I whispered. "How are you? Can you walk?" Before she could answer, the ship lurched and leaned to one side. There was a wrenching, snapping roar and the rushing sound of water. Icy cold ran over my ankles and began to rise. "The hull's breached," Anna said. "We're taking on water." I headed for the stairway, blasting rod up to make sure it was clear. "Can you get out?" Light exploded behind my eyes, and I dropped to my hands and knees at the bottom of the stairway. Anna had slugged me with something. A second burst of light and pain drove my head far enough down to splash some cold water against my forehead. I dimly saw Anna's foot kick my blasting rod away from me. Then she picked up the shroud and its package from the counter and tore off the top sheet of the hotel memo pad. I saw that she had blood on her jacket soaked through and staining her fatigue pants down to the top of her left leg. She grabbed my coat, wincing, and one of the duffel bags. She put my leather duster on, covering the blood. The water had filled the cabin almost to the tops of her combat boots. I tried to get my wits together, but something was keeping me from doing much besides focusing my eyes. I knew that I needed to leave, but I couldn't get the message from my head to my arms and legs. Anna Valmont stepped past me and went up the stairs. She stopped about halfway up, spat out another curse, and came back down them enough to reach down and splash cold water into my face. The shock jump-started something in my body, and I coughed, my head spinning, and started to move again. I'd been too drunk to stand up a time or two, but even then I'd been more capable than I was at that moment. The blonde thief grabbed my arm and half-hauled me up a couple of stairs, her face twisted in pain. I desperately held on to that momentum, struggling up another stair even after she stopped pulling. She kept going up the stairs and didn't look back as she said, "I'm only doing this because I like your coat, Dresden. Don't come near me again." Then she padded up out of the cabin and disappeared with the shroud. My head had started to throb and swell, but it was clearing rapidly also. But evidently I wasn't all that bright, even when fully conscious, because I staggered back down into the ship's cabin. Francisca Garcia's corpse had fallen onto its side, glassy eyes staring, mouth slightly open. One of her cheeks had been half-covered by water. There were still tracks of tears on the other one. The water around her was a cloudy, brownish pink. My stomach heaved, and the anger that came with it nearly sent me to the floor again. Instead, I sloshed through the freezing water to the counter. I picked up the cell phone there and the blank memo pad. I hesitated over Francisca. She didn't deserve to have her body swallowed by the lake like a discarded beer bottle. My balance wobbled again. The water had begun to rise more quickly. It covered my shins already, and I couldn't feel my feet for the cold. I tried to lift her body, but the effort brought a surge of pain to my head, and I almost threw up. I settled the body back down, unable to even curse coherently, and made do with gently closing her eyes with one hand. It was all I could do for her. The police would find her, of course, probably within a few hours. And if I didn't get moving, they'd find me, too. I couldn't afford to spend a night in the pokey while I was interrogated, charged, and awaiting bail, but what else was new? I'd get in touch with Murphy as soon as I could. I folded my arms against the growing cold, hugging the memo pad and cell phone to my chest, and slogged out of the bloody water of the étranger's cabin and onto the deck. I had to make a short jump up to the dock. A couple of people were on the sidewalk above the little harbor, staring down, and I saw a couple of folks out on the decks of their ships, also staring. I ducked my head, thought inconspicuous thoughts, and hurried away before my morning could get any worse.